AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. It is the Matt McNeil Show for your Friday. Good to have you with us today. A lot to get to today, my goodness. You think these Fridays, Brett, they'd be a little bit easier, but not so much, man. Not so much. My first announcement, once again, a ton of closures down 35W in those area, 94 area ramps. I don't do traffic anymore, so I don't keep up to date with the hip lingo of those super cool traffic reporters. I just know it's a mess, but it's something that we go through every once in a while. You know, the Crosstown Commons, remember that was 5 years? I think that was shut down for 5 years.
Yeah,
total.
This seems extra long, though. This is what, like 2-3 years on this 35W project downtown?
Well, they finally got to the point where they could take the Washington Avenue Bridge out right by Electric Fetus there. It's a big project. I mean,
well, I know from the south now, you got like one exit that goes downtown, and that's like it.
I will say this, if you are traveling in that direction, just keep in mind it's going to take a while. Here's my only thing. On behalf of everyone that lives in Minneapolis-St. Paul, just get it done right the first time. We understand every 30 years or so you have to do this, but make sure the lanes are there, add the lanes you need to, make it expandable, do all that stuff, and then we don't have to deal with this every 10 years, all right? So just check ahead. I know MnDOT has a webpage basically dedicated to all the closures down there, so you can go check that out. But anticipate them pretty much every weekend. It's nice enough they can do any construction on this for the next 3 years. So bon appetit. 952-946-6205. Our Democrat of the day is running for Attorney General. He's actually the DFL-endorsed candidate for Attorney General, and his endorsement set off an interesting series of events here in the state of Minnesota. Matt Pelican is kind enough to join us today to talk about his campaign. Mr. Pelican, thank you very much for the time.
Hey, guys. Happy to be here.
My pleasure to have you on the air. And I'm actually really glad because you were pretty much I've never seen someone come out of the blue as much as you did and win the DFL endorsement. Congratulations on that. Explain to everyone who exactly is Matt Pelican.
Yeah, well, thank you. It was a great and humbling moment for me. I'm a lifelong Minnesotan. I grew up in Northfield with Paul Wellstone as my hometown hero and got involved in politics at a young age. I started organizing on issues of income inequality and economic justice when I was a teenager in Northfield through some friends of the Wellstones who were my backyard neighbors, Mike and Nancy Casper. Went to my first precinct caucus when I was 13 years old and was precinct chair down in Northfield before I could vote. I went all the way across the Cannon River to St. Olaf College for undergrad. I led the college Democrats there and organized against the Iraq War. I worked for Paul when he was a U.S. Senator, and then I worked for Mark Dayton when he was U.S. Senator. I went on to law school at the University of Minnesota, where I was editor-in-chief of the Minnesota Law Review, and I clerked on the Minnesota Supreme Court for two justices, first for Paul Anderson and then for David Lillehog. I was in private practice as a civil litigator at Robbins, Kaplan, Miller, and Cerisi for a number of years until 2016, when I quit my job and put all my stuff in storage to move to Ohio, and I helped run the voter protection operation for the presidential campaign there, where we fought voter suppression and expanded access to the franchise. I'm back in private practice in Minneapolis and been involved in Minnesota law and politics for over 20 years, fighting to make a difference.
You clearly have the resume, I mean, for this position. What prompted you? What made you say all of a sudden, you know what, I'm going to run for the Attorney General's position?
Yeah, I'd say two big things. One, it was, you know, coming out of the election of Donald Trump, and I thought, what does this mean for progressive politics generally? What does it mean for me personally? And as depressing and as dispiriting as some of the stuff we've seen the last couple of years can be, I realized the only way forward for progressives was for people to get more involved, not less. And for me, that meant running for office. And so I looked and I said, you know, attorneys general are going to play a critical role on the front lines, not only of holding Donald Trump accountable and stopping his excesses, but of continuing the important work of getting an economy that is actually delivering results for people of all kinds and in every place, and the important work of civil rights and equal rights. And I thought Minnesota needed a stronger and more progressive attorney general. We needed to revitalize that office to build on what is a proud legacy of what has sometimes been the best public law office in the whole country. And I didn't see anyone else out there willing to stand up and talk about it and really press those issues forward. And so I thought, this is a place where I can stand up. I can speak confidently and strongly on these issues and help to push this vital office for our economy and civil rights and equality and opportunity in the state in a more progressive direction. And so I jumped in. I was committed from the beginning, regardless of Attorney General Swanson's intentions. And I really wanted to see us do the important twofold work of the urgent need to get an economy that is actually working for people while we continue to stand up and protect equality and civil rights for all peoples in Minnesota.
I want to give you credit because you can't, I mean, my gosh, I mean, the Pelican, inflatable Pelicans, in the realm of marketing, that was one of the more effective tools I've seen because pretty much everyone that went down to Rochester for the convention had a picture of the Pelican. And by the way, if you have an extra one, I'd love to have one. They're very cool. But that wasn't just it. It wasn't just a catchy little inflatable Pelican that was the case. Explain for a lot of people, because once again, it's not like you're talking to people who are shy on politics. We actually know a lot, especially on the Democratic side. And your victory really was out of the blue. Talk about the strategy you took at the convention for the endorsement and how you got that implemented.
Yeah, I mean, I know we surprised a lot of people. I've been joking that, you know, I think maybe my mom thought I could get the endorsement, but probably not a lot of other folks. But I will disagree a little bit, say it's out of the blue. You know, I am a believer in the caucus and endorsement process. This year was my 12th precinct caucus. Again, I've been going since before I could vote. And there are too many barriers and hurdles to that process. But I think one of the benefits is that it is a grassroots process beginning really a year and a half ago, and, you know, going through the precinct caucuses on a cold winter night where Minnesotans, you know, in every part of the state meet with their neighbors to talk about politics and talk about how to move the progressive agenda forward. And it's a process that allows a candidate like me who has a message, who has something important to say, to put in the work and connect with Minnesotans in Minneapolis and in Thief River Falls and Duluth and Northfield, of course. And so for me, I went to over 100 meetings this spring. I made thousands of phone calls. I logged over 10,000 miles driving, and I went to almost every county in Minnesota to personally present my vision of a strong and progressive attorney general's office. And so it may be below the radar, but there was a tremendous amount of work. There was a tremendous amount of enthusiasm at the local grassroots level in this campaign. And so we went into the convention. Our numbers, frankly, were so good, I didn't want to believe them, because we just were picking up a tremendous amount of support from people who shared that excitement for an attorney general who wasn't afraid to stand up and say what, frankly, almost every lawyer in the state knew and a lot of progressives knew, which is that we need a strong and progressive attorney general. And so we went in there. I felt confident that we would hold it to multiple ballots. I knew that I had an opportunity to persuade people who hadn't been paying attention or were undecided because, there's a lot going on in Minnesota politics this year. So I got up, I tried to lay out in my speech as clearly and forcefully as possible why people should pay attention, why we needed a change. And, we got there. It was a great moment. It was exciting. It was surreal as a young, dorky political nerd since before I could drive or vote to be the a player in one of the biggest political upsets in Minnesota history. And it was an incredibly humbling moment.
You're absolutely correct. Out of the blue is not a fair statement. It is very much under the radar, but what you did is Wellstonian. Other Democrats have proven this theory as well, is that if you get out there and meet with people, and this is something I think that you can teach every candidate that's running in these primaries, that if you get out there and meet, I mean, Aaron Murphy's out there meeting. I know Tim Walz and Peggy Flanagan are out there meeting. Lori Swanson, Rick Nolan are out there heading meeting as they run for the governor's race. If you put in the time and you go to the meetings and you get out there and you talk to the people, good things happen and good results happen. And I think that endorsement probably is a clear example of that.
It was hard earned. And the credit goes to the folks throughout Minnesota who joined this campaign early on the floor of the convention and just, you know, believed in a politics of hope over fear and optimism that we could really make a difference in this office this year.
Before we get to the primary, let me talk a little bit about some of the issues. And I know as the attorney general, it's a kind of a different position in the sense being is that, you know, you don't quite know what's going to come across your table when you become the attorney general. And so hence to talk about what you're going to do is there are some things that you will come to your attention, some things you might have in your mind. What are some of the things right now that if you became attorney general, you would want to direct your focus on immediately?
Yeah. So the top three issues I've been highlighting in this campaign are guns, drugs, and antitrust. And I'll take those in reverse order. I think the concentration of too much economic and political power in too few hands is the greatest challenge facing our society. And besides collective bargaining, antitrust is the best tool we have to shift that balance of power back into the hands of working people in the middle class. And Minnesota used to lead the nation in state-level antitrust enforcement. We had other state attorneys general send people here. We had law schools like Harvard and Stanford send law students because we were pushing the boundaries of holding special interests accountable and breaking up the modern day trusts. And it's simply a difference of priorities, but that office has been reduced, I hear, to two full-time lawyers and maybe a half-time lawyer. And so number one for me is launching a task force to make Minnesota the national leader once again in holding special interests accountable through antitrust enforcement. It touches almost every sector of our economy, almost every community in Minnesota, and it's something that is available right now under existing law, a tool that a progressive attorney general can use to help people throughout Minnesota. So that's number one. And number two for me is holding the pharmaceutical industry accountable for its role in out-of-control prescription drug pricing and the opioid epidemic. I'd say there's no reason that drugs that are innovated in America and made in America should be cheaper right across the border in Canada. And I think, again, under existing law right now in Minnesota, the Attorney General has some important tools available to go after that industry, force them to the bargaining table, negotiate for lower drug prices on behalf of state purchasers, and really get to the bottom of the opioid epidemic. Number three is guns. And this is, as an ally, I think we have to stem the tide of gun violence in our communities. It is a crisis. It is one of the biggest reasons that I knew we had to push this office in a different direction. The incumbent has an A-plus from the NRA and has repeatedly joined forces with the NRA, joined forces with Ted Cruz at the U.S. Supreme Court on behalf of the NRA. And we need an attorney general who is going to use this platform and this office to support the grassroots movement we're seeing here in Minnesota and throughout the country that's demanding some sanity in our gun safety laws. So those are the top three issues. There are a host of other ones, and I'm happy to talk about that more, but those are the ones I highlight in the campaign.
I'm not going to miss the point here that what you've just described are three major things which Democrats were trying to get specifically in the Minnesota House, Republicans to address, things which are wildly popular as far as issues going on here in Minnesota. I mean, the vast majority of people want to hold pharmaceutical companies accountable, want to have more, a safer community from guns everywhere. And yet they failed. I mean, is that part of your motivation as well, seeing the fact that the Minnesota Republican Party, especially the Minnesota House Republicans, failed to do what 80-90% of the state wants?
Yeah, I mean, they've failed to do so many things that not only are popular, but are right. And we have to get a state government overall that is ready to actually step up and make a positive difference in people's lives. And as I said in my convention speech, I think one of the things that defines us as Democrats and as progressives is that we believe politics can make a positive difference in people's lives. We don't have to stand alone. We can stand together to address some of these issues of getting an economy that's actually working for people, holding special interests accountable and stemming the stranglehold that they have on everyday people in this country and stemming the tide of gun violence in our communities. These are, as you indicate, these are popular things. They have broad-based support. I think the Republicans' ongoing reluctance to engage on these issues, which is not surprising but still very disappointing, is going to be one of the things that fuels progressive candidates at every level of the ballot here in Minnesota and throughout the country this year.
The win by you at the endorsement convention, started a lot. Lori Swanson left. She withdrew from the attorney general's race and entered the governor's race, which has turned that race somewhat on its ear a little bit as far as heading for the primary. But then the attorney general's race itself got very crowded very quickly. Tom Foley, Deborah Hillstrom, Mike Rothman, and of course, District Congressman, U.S. Congressman Keith Ellison, all entering in to challenge you in the primary. Your thoughts on the crowded field all of a sudden?
Welcome. Welcome aboard. Welcome to the fight. I was under no illusion that Attorney General Swanson was going to abide by the endorsement. We always expected to have a primary. The primary looks different than we thought, as you say. And some of the people getting in are good people. I have tremendous respect for Congressman Ellison. I like him. And, it's not necessarily the campaign I would have picked, but it's the one that's here. And progressive leadership means taking on the fights that need fighting, that require fearlessness and tenacity, even when no one is watching. And that's who I've been throughout my life. It's who Minnesotans we're seeing really want as an attorney general. And I look forward to bringing the same determination and integrity that I've brought to bear throughout my political and professional life to the attorney general's office. That's going to be a good conversation through the summer and into the fall.
If I can ask you kind of a campaigning question, how do you change your campaign a little bit here? Because obviously, once again, an endorsement convention is DFLers, and a lot of them are, you know, the party faithful, I mean, that core base. But now a primary, you're looking at Democrats across the state. How have you changed your game plan, your strategy as you're heading towards August?
Well, you know, we're cognizant that the audience changes, especially in scale. I don't think the message changes. I think, you know, it was important for me in this campaign, for instance, to give the same stump speech, the same answers in every part of Minnesota that I campaigned in. And I think that people really respond to a vision of a strong, progressive leader, someone who's willing to take on fights, never back down, even when it might not be the easiest path. And that's what we need to really make a difference in our society, to get an economy that is sharing the fruits and the benefits with everyone who's putting in so much work and labor and giving people an opportunity to get ahead and, you know, standing up for equal rights. I mean, Minnesotans are incredibly fair-minded. They're incredibly just people in a state. I love this state. I love our values and our communities. And so, you know, again, the scale changes, but I don't think the conversation changes. And I think that the message that worked for us in schools and community centers through the caucus process down to the halls of Rochester is going to resonate just as well in the primary and, frankly, just as well in the general election.
I think that's not going to work on your behalf, because I agree with you wholeheartedly. People don't want someone that's changing their story to match the audience. They want someone that's committed to their beliefs. And if you stay by those base core values, you know, along with that endorsement, that should help you greatly when it comes down to the primary.
Well, thank you. I mean, I agree. And, you know, I've worked on a lot of campaigns. I've seen a lot of politicians firsthand. And, you know, one thing that was important for me watching this was, it's a fickle business. You can have the best laid plans, you can run a great campaign, and you might not win. And for me, on a personal level, it was very important to get up there and just say what I thought and engage at a sincere level with people. It makes it more fun. And I think over the long term, you have a better shot at showing that people that you're going to be a leader with conviction, with integrity, which is, you know, something people are really hungry for. And then even if things don't work out, you know, you have yourself, and you can look at yourself in the mirror, and it just makes the whole process work more smoothly. So it was very important for me to just say what I think. That's who I've always been. It's who I'll be as Attorney General. And, you know, I think it's a good political strategy, too, but more so it's just the right thing to do.
MattPelikan.com. That's Matt, M-A-T-T, Pelikan, P-E-L-I-K-A-N.com is the website. If you'd like more information about Matt's campaign, as well as also if you'd like to donate or volunteer, I'm sure he would appreciate any efforts on that level. MattPelikan.com. And once again, Pelikan is with a K. Matt, I appreciate the time today. Thank you very much for the interview, and all my best as you head for the primary.
Well, I appreciate it. Yes, anyone who wants to volunteer, chip in some money. We don't necessarily have the party support, the establishment coming in, but we do have the message. We have the grassroots, and we can get there to have a strong and progressive attorney general. So thanks for having me on today, and thanks for everyone who's helped out so far. I look forward to seeing everyone on the campaign trail this summer.
Absolutely. Matt Pelikan, kind enough to join us. Democrat of the day. We'll spotlight him. Thanks, Matt. Appreciate the time.
Thank you.
It's the Matt McNeil Show. Take a break right now. Come on back on AM 950.
Are you trying to live stream on Facebook, on YouTube, tired of no one watching your videos? Well, whether you're a beginner or a veteran, you can have better results. Hi, it's Mike McEntee with The Uptake. We're famous for our live streaming of thousands of events that are watched by millions. I want to help you live stream video like a pro for your cause, your group, or your company. I'm teaching a class on June 9th where you'll learn how to use your phone or a professional camera to deliver the best live experience for your audience. I'll teach you how to attract an audience and how to keep reaching that audience when you're no longer live. Find out what platform works best for what you're trying to do. Sign up now at theuptake.org/classes. Space is limited. Go to theuptake.org/classes to sign up for this June 9th class. There's a $70 charge, but there's a discount for students and low-income people. That's theuptake.org/classes to learn how to live stream like a pro.
I'm Steve Conklin. And I'm Jake Daroff.
We're the hosts of the Mortgage Talk Show, Sundays at 12:30.
Steve, what are we going to talk about this week?
This week, we cover Wells Fargo's retail pullback and interview Joe Waddell from Advanced Credit Solutions, talking about repairing and maintaining your credit.
Check us out for more information. Email us any questions at mortgagetalkshow.com.
Tune in to the Mortgage Talk Show every Sunday at 12:30 on AM 950.
What kind of a jackass would let an animal pick their insurance? Did you really think a lizard could save you money on car insurance? Would you let a duck pick your health policy? Insurance can be a zoo, but this is ridiculous. What you really need is an insurance agent that isn't looking out for the insurance companies. You need Cheryl at Array, an independent agent with 30 years experience looking for the best rate possible. Quit monkeying around and call 763-504-3067. That's 763-504-3067 for Cheryl at Array, representing you, not the insurance companies.
AM 950 listeners, we have a home cleaning company with an offer just for you. They're Blue Sky Services. Blue Sky Services will wash your windows, siding, gutters, clean those black streaks off your roof, and more. Window washing starts at $100. Siding cleaning starts at $199. Call Blue Sky Services at 651-447-4484 to ask for the AM 950 special. If you hear this, you have an exclusive house cleaning offer for June only. Call 651-447-4484. That's Blue Sky Services at 651-447-4484.
AM 950, the Progressive Voice of Minnesota. MattPelikan.com, P-E-L-I-K-A-N, MattPelikan.com. I think you can hear with this interview how this guy pulled off that upset of Lori Swanson at the convention. And once again, I think his terms is right. It's he was under the radar. He was not out of the blue because he was there. It was under the radar. And, you know, I think that I will say this. Since I've opened the door on this, I'm going to make the offer out there for the other DFL candidates for the attorney general position. Keith Ellison, Tom Foley, Deb Hillstrom, and Mike Rothman. They're all, I mean, I had to have Matt Pelikan on, though, because I can't tell you how many Democrats I know are like, who? And under the radar, I'll give you under the radar. But when a lot of the people I know who are following Democratic politics pretty closely were kind of surprised by this. I mean, it's something to talk about. He reminds me, his commitment to his issues reminds me of Dean Phillips a little bit. And I think that maybe is why, if you didn't hear the Dean Phillips interview we did as Democrat of the Day a few weeks back, one of the best political interviews I've ever done. I think that guy was brilliant. And you know, it's when you hear him, I mean, that commitment to your issues is very similar to Dean Phillips. I don't know, you know, you're going up against some big name recognition. And once again, it's one thing on, at a convention, it's another thing on a statewide ballot. And we'll have to see. I mean, if the Democrats, if you get out there, you're going to have a much better chance at winning. And I'm leaving candidates' names out of this. There have been a few candidates in this election cycle who are trying to run for a statewide race who they weren't even in town. They never were around. They're not going. You won't win if you just expect people to vote for you. What Matt Pelikan did is get into people's faces and say, I'm Matt Pelikan. And by the way, yeah, that Pelikan, inflatable Pelikan, that was a pretty slick marketing toy. I mean, you can't deny that. But yeah, it's going to be an interesting race. And I should mention, since I'm talking politics this first half hour, I should mention there is going to be a special endorsing convention for the Minnesota 5th District DFL for that U.S. congressional seat. This is going to be on June 17th. This is going to be in Minneapolis. Good news for all the political reporters in town. You don't have to go to Duluth or Rochester this time. You just go into Minneapolis. It's going to be at Clara Barton Open School in Minneapolis. Of course, State Representative Ilhan Omar, former Minnesota House Speaker Margaret Anderson Kelleher, State Senator Patricia Torres Ray, State Senator Bobby Joe Champion, Frank Nelson Drake, and Jamal Abdi Abduhali are all running on the DFL side for that seat. So they're going to have an endorsement convention for stuff there. And so, you know, just anticipate, you know, that race is going to be interesting as well. And once again, it comes down to this. I was talking to a friend of mine today. It comes down to this. If the Democrats, after the primary, say, okay, you know what? If you didn't win the primary, and you say, you know what? All right, fine. I didn't win the primary. We'll move on. Well, that's I think you're going to see a Democratic tidal wave. But after the primary, and once again, I think, you know, it's nice that he won the endorsement. It's nice Matt Pelican is the endorsed candidate. It is a big difference between, it should be, in my mind, it should be the primary. I said this before, I'll say this again. It should be the primary is the deciding factor, which it is. That's the rule. So anyone saying, well, we got the endorsement, so everyone should get out of the way. No, that's, it's nice. It definitely adds to your marquee, but you know, you have to have a statewide plan to encourage all Democrats to vote for you, not just the Minneapolis-St. Paul ones, not just the outstate ones. And so, you know, it's if you win the primary, it's going to be interesting to see how many Democrats either on the 5th congressional district race or in the governor's race, perchance, or the attorney general's race, might say, well, maybe I'll run as a third party. The one that I'm going to be honest, I wonder most about is Tina Smith's Senate seat. Whether Painter will, if he does lose the primary, which right now he's doing, you know, he's getting out and meeting people. That's what you're supposed to do. He's doing a lot of meeting. If he doesn't win the primary, the question I have is whether or not he will will he go through and, you know, support Tina Smith, or will he run as a third party? That will be a very interesting one to see. 952-946-6205, 952-946-6205. Let's take a break. I'll come back and get Gary here. I'll also mention we got a few other things, insanity from Trump, and also Anthony Bourdain's passing away. We'll talk about that as well. It's the Matt McNeil Show on AM 950.
Hi, I'm Dr. Scott Chambliot from Chambliot Family Dentistry. We're the fear-free, get-you-out-of-pain-now dental office.
And I'm Rachel Chambliot. Did you know a lot of people are afraid of the dentist? You don't need to be afraid of my dad. He makes going to the dentist comfortable and even fun.
We don't care if you're a dental regular or haven't seen a dentist in years. We just want to make you comfortable and get you out of pain.
If you don't see my dad, please see another dentist. Take care of your teeth because they're the only ones you get. Call 1-800-FIX-MY-TEETH or visit fixmyteeth.us.
The Electric Fetus turns 50 this week. Now through Sunday, June 10th, take 20% off your purchase store-wide. New and used vinyl, CDs and DVDs, clothing, jewelry, unique gifts, and more. Save 20% off during Electric Fetus's 50th anniversary sale. Some restrictions apply. 20% off is good in the store at 2000 4th Avenue South in Minneapolis, as well as Duluth. Check out www.electricfetus.com for 50th anniversary events this week.
Seward Co-op, serving the community for nearly 45 years, invites you to shop their two convenient locations, both offering the strong commitment to local producers and healthy foods you've come to expect. Seward focuses on locally grown and raised products, fair trade, and environmental sustainability. Shop their selection of meats, artisan cheeses, and house-made baked goods. Find Seward at 2823 East Franklin Avenue or the Friendship Store on 38th Street and 3rd Avenue in Minneapolis. More at seward.coop.
The fine folks at Common Good Books will help you find the perfect book for you or the book lover in your life. Find a huge selection from a locally owned and independent bookseller in the Twin Cities. They are always bringing in top authors from around the globe for special in-store events. Open Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 9 p.m. and Sundays, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m. Find Common Good Books at 38 South Snelling Avenue in St. Paul or shop online at commongoodbooks.com.
AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. You know why Bill Luther is one of my favorite politicians of all time? Johnny on the spot, as always. He reminded you that you have to file as an independent in Minnesota. You can't just run willy-nilly.
Yeah, it's not like the sore loser thing where I didn't win the DFL, I'm just going to be an independent. Or
the only way then he could possibly run is a write-in campaign, and if anyone's that stupid to try to do a write-in campaign, dear Lord, I mean, that's a quick way to torpedo yourself. I mean, talk about, fighting against a herd of cats. That doesn't work. I will say this. I still think that either Painter or Smith will actually get Housley. You said she reminded you. You saw Karen Housley, the Republican, speaking, and it reminded you of someone?
Yeah, I was going to say I was at the Republican State Convention, of course, covering that for Mike, not because I am a Republican. Just a quick note there, but she was a little Sarah Palin-esque. Not full-on Sarah Palin, but she was pulling up that whole hockey mom. I'm a hockey mom. My husband's a hockey person. I take my kids to hockey practice.
I think she sounded a little more like Sarah Palin. Let's go to the tape here. I can see Canada from my house. Yeah. It's Housley is Palin light. She's Sarah Palin light. Yeah. Ugh. All right. Well,
I at least let you pull off the Sarah Palin impression.
I'm dying. I got to keep those separate from Michelle Bachman.
Yeah, they're very similar impressions.
There's nuances to the show. Look for the layers, people. The layers. Programming here brought to you by our good friend Todd Colet. That's right. Todd sponsors AM 950 radio. You can too. If you'd like to find out more information on how you can do that, 952-946-8885, 952-946-8885. You can basically go on out and you can sponsor the station. Todd's got his band Just Folk. Just Folk's got a fourth album coming out. They got the first three albums on Bandcamp. You can look for the link on the Twitter and the Facebook pages. Facebook is Matt McNeil Show Progressive Citizen X, and the Twitter feed is the Matt McNeil Show. Find Todd's albums there, the Bandcamp. Go listen and enjoy. And thank you very much, Todd, for sponsoring AM 950 this week. Once again, 952-946-8885 for more information. I'll tell you what, Gary's been on hold for a while. Let's get Gary on the air. Welcome on in, Gary Bear.
Good afternoon, Matt. You know, it's been reported all the time how sinister these darn Russians are, what they're doing to middle in our country. But what about the All-American Party, the Republican Party? All the rigged election tricks they use. Should I name some of the tricks to refresh your memory? Remember Catherine Harris in Florida and the judges appointing our president that lost the election? I think, and then there's the voter ID law, Citizens United, and the gerrymandering where we win elections and we still lose around the country, and on the Voting Rights Act, and you can go on and on. They're pretty. I call them the All-American Party. That's about it.
Thanks, Gary. Gary calling us via shortwave today. Appreciate the phone call there.
Not as good as the R2-D2.
It's not R2-G2. It's not R2-G2. That's the technical voice. This is more shortwave. This is he's got one of those shortwave radios. He's given us a call from his compound out in one of the Alaskan islands, I'm presuming, this time. So thanks, Gary. Appreciate the phone call. 952-946-6205. I do have to take a quick moment, if I can, and talk about how painful it is that Anthony Bourdain has passed away. He committed suicide. One of my last interviews I ever did in Ames, Iowa, I was working for KASI KCCQ, and I did an old afternoon. My first talk show I ever did was Matt and Moore After Four on KASI in Ames, Iowa. And in 2000, it was his first book, I believe it was, Kitchen Confidential, I believe was his first book. And they were looking, and this wasn't anything special. It's not like I called them up and I booked them. I was there. No, what had happened is if someone was coming out with a book, they'd sit the guy down in a studio in New York or LA. They would schedule 40 interviews for 10 minutes each. And basically the guy would just sit there and it's like, hello, Nebraska. Hello, Missoula, Montana. Hello, Sacramento, California. Hello, Savannah, Georgia. And just ding, 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 just do radio station after radio station. And we got into that lineup and I interviewed him. And of course, if you ever read that first book, a very interesting book, he talks about this, the cutthroat nature that you don't get into cooking in restaurants unless you really love cooking, because it is not a place for people who are hobbyists or just part-time. You have to be committed to it. He was the first guy. I still take his advice. Never order fish at a restaurant on Monday, because he says it's always the leftover fish from the weekend. Never order your steak well done, because that always is the clue for the cook to grab the worst cut of meat that he's got and kill it. Said never do that. He also had, if you've not seen, he has a lovely little video that's on YouTube where he talks about when you grill meat, take the meat off the grill, put it on the cutting board, and walk away. Don't take its temperature. Don't cover it in foil. Don't poke at it. Don't cut it. Don't carve it. Don't do anything. Just leave it alone. Leave it be 5-10 minutes and it'll be fine. If you've never read about his his monumental smackdown of, was it Sandra Lee was the person on, yeah, Sandra Lee was and Cook is not exactly the right term to use for Sandra Lee. She was the, you know, she was the expediter. I mean, she would use stuff like cake mixes and stuff like that, which, you know, Bourdain thought that this was, he was the guy that when Cartoon Network, I should call it the Cartoon Network, Food Network, when Food Network, you know, was starting to go down the path and was getting away from chefs and getting into personalities, he was the first one really to walk away from it saying, I don't want any part of this. One of his books, he talks about, or one of the articles, he talks about Sandra Lee and basically putting her arm around him and saying, here's my coworker. And he's like, get away from me. You are not my coworker. You used a Duncan Hines cake mix in your home. That's not a chef. That's not a cook. That's an expediter. And he was a guy that believed in simplicity. Absolutely. When I interviewed him way back when, I talked to him a little bit about that, and he goes, I think people mistake what I'm saying as highbrow, that when I talk about good quality cooking and stuff like that and being in love with it, I am not talking about the most expensive French restaurant. He goes, there is a cart down the street from our place that sells grilled Greek lamb. The guy that runs it is like 80 years old. He's been cooking this meat as a profession for 60 years. He goes, he can cook lamb better than I could ever dream to cook it. And yeah, it's a little cart. It's out there. But I dare you to find better lamb cooked than this guy. And it's not heavy-duty seasoning. It's not injecting it with flavor. It's not any of these things. It's just he knows how to cook it. He knows when to take it off the heat. He knows how to season it lightly to perfection. He says, that is the real talent. And when he did his cooking show and he went around the world and he did that was kind of the whole thing. He said, where is it my place to tell you what is right or what is wrong? It is not my place. What I will tell you is what I like and what is good. And if you go down to Kansas City, Joe's Barbecue, I went down there. And as a matter of fact, it was Hunter suggested when I went down to Kansas City, he suggested go try this place out. And if you're waiting in line for an hour, which you will be doing at this barbecue joint, you'll see 14 meals you should eat before you die by Anthony Bourdain. It is on the wall. It's laminated on the wall. And indeed, one of them was this barbecue. And he says, don't you get highbrow with me and say barbecue doesn't belong here. When you know how to do it perfectly, it is one of the best things you could ever have. And he was right. I actually ordered, I was going to order something else, but I read Bourdain's review of this place. I ordered the exact same thing he did. Dear Lord, was that good. It was phenomenal. It was phenomenal. And if you've not also seen this, and I know this is a bit that's making its rounds. You've got to see him going to a Waffle House. He got taken to a Waffle House, and not only did he not condemn it, he went into it. He was open-minded. He tried it. He liked it. He enjoyed it. And he experienced it. He didn't dismiss it. He didn't diminish it. He experienced it. It's things like that that made him the best food reviewer I've ever seen. I mean, he was old school. I've talked about this when I talk about people that review movies and review records. I can't, especially music reviewers. Most music reviewers, I think, are garbage because their whole thing is loved it, hated it, loved it, hated it. No, a great reviewer tells you why they like it, and then they bank on you getting to know them as a reviewer to give weight to what they're saying. It's not their job to tell you what to like and what not to like. It's their job to explain their perspective of the experience, and then you can use, as an intelligent human being, your personal experience reading that individual or watching that individual to make the determination on whether or not he was legit. And by the way, he did like Waffle House. A lot of the stuff at Waffle House, the pecan waffle is actually quite delicious. Have you had it? It's not bad. It's hard because that's the, you know, and by the way, this is once again another incredibly tragic loss to suicide. There are many different organizations out there that are there to help. If you are having suicidal thoughts, if you are having depression, please contact one of them and get some help. Talk to someone, please. It's tragedy. Anthony Bourdain or Kate Spade passing away by suicide. You know, the celebrities here that pass away, we talk about them and the tragedy of their lives, but all lives lost to suicide are tragic. It is a very tragic loss, and it's a loss we can prevent if we are willing to be open-minded and welcoming and listen. So please, on that. Anthony Bourdain, like I said, having interviewed him before he really took off with that first book, and I think back on that all the time. I really, you know, that was something special, and that was one of my favorite interviews I ever did. I will say, follow his advice. Don't order the fish on Monday, and don't ever order your steak well done, because that will not end well for you. I'll tell you what, let's take the break now. 952-946-6205, 952-946-6205. We have to come back. I'll talk about the marijuana busts in Minneapolis. Hey, there's a connecting theme to all of them, but it's a horrible connecting theme. I'll explain that in a second. And Trump is, I don't think Trump can read. We'll talk about that too. It's the Matt McNeil Show on AM 950.
Located just north of 50th in France, the Great Wall Restaurant has provided a delicious taste of authentic Chinese cuisine since 1981. Specializing in Sichuan and Peking dishes, they offer one of the most extensive menus in the Twin Cities. Favorites include hot and sour soup, pan-fried dumplings, and mushu pork with homemade Chinese pancakes. Stop by their Edina location or call for takeout at 952-927-4439. See the full menu at greatwallrestaurant.us.
Kevin Ross here, inviting you to our brand new store called Ambibulous. What does Ambibulous mean? It means one who enjoys alcoholic beverages of all sorts. Ambibulous is a Minnesota maker's market. Unlike traditional liquor stores, we feature only craft beer, wine, and spirits made here in Minnesota. We are ready to guide your selections, where you can build your own 4 or 6 packs. Find us at 949 Hennepin Avenue East in Northeast Minneapolis or online at ambibulousmn.com.
Hi, Matt McNeil for Rudy Luther Toyota. My first Toyota love was the RAV4 back in 1998. When I was traveling in February, I needed a rental car, and I jumped at the opportunity to drive one again. The RAV4 is fantastic with all the bells and whistles you need, and it has all the modern safety features to keep us safe, comfort as we vacationed. It fit all 5 of us and our luggage with ease. I was able to revisit my first love. Now, you can fall in love for yourself by test driving a RAV4 today at Rudy Luther Toyota, the southeast corner of 394 and 169.
The fine folks at Common Good Books will help you find the perfect book for you or the book lover in your life. Find a huge selection from a locally owned and independent bookseller in the Twin Cities. They are always bringing in top authors from around the globe for special in-store events. Open Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 9 p.m. and Sundays, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m. Find Common Good Books at 38 South Snelling Avenue in St. Paul or shop online at commongoodbooks.com.
I'm Richard R.J. Eskow, and this week on The Zero Hour, Kara Eastman on running for Congress from the left in Nebraska, Richard Wolff on capitalism, alienation, and economics, Democratic strategist Mike Lux and activist Kristen Rowe Finkbeiner on their new books, and Dr. America talks Medicare for All. All this and more on The Zero Hour every Sunday night from 9 till midnight on AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota.
AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. It is the Matt McNeil Show. Minneapolis police. Oh, by the way, I should mention, I haven't mentioned eatlocalminnesota.com restaurant of the week is Sewer Co-op Creamery Cafe over on 2601 East Franklin Avenue in Minneapolis. A perfect weekend. I think, Brett, you scream ice cream. We all scream for ice cream, don't we? I think that's the rule.
Absolutely.
All right. The Sunny's Ice Cream supplies of the hand-dipped ice cream available there. Also, the house-made vanilla soft serve and rotating flavors of fruit sorbet are always available. What are you doing this weekend? I think you're going over to Seward Co-op Creamery Cafe for some ice cream. 2601 East Franklin Avenue in Minneapolis. It's the eatlocalminnesota.com restaurant of the week. Well, some people might be a little more hungrier for the munchies than others. Now, apparently, since they've stopped the sting operations on low-level marijuana sales. This is actually ugly, and I think this is going to get a lot uglier. I really do. Minneapolis police abruptly ended the practice of targeting small-scale marijuana sellers downtown after revelations that nearly everyone arrested was black. In a series of rushed announcements on Thursday, authorities say that police will no longer conduct sting operations targeting low-level marijuana sales, and charges against 47 people arrested in the first 5 months of 2018 would be dismissed. The extraordinary turnaround came after Hennepin County Chief Public Defender contacted Mayor Jacob Frey to complain of what looked like blatant racial profiling. That doesn't look like it. That seems to be blatant racial profiling going on. Can I make a point here? And I mean, all right, let's get off our damn high horse at this point. How many states is it legal to smoke dope? How many states are out there saying, boy, was that a mistake? Even police departments are not even to worry about this. Why are we dedicating this much time and resources to bust people selling illegal product in many states? How? Why? Why? You're telling me there's nothing else going on right now?
And such a small amount, too, is what they were talking.
Exactly. These amounts were tiny and minuscule. Yeah. It was minor infractions. Why? Why are we even bothering with this? I mean, if this is some sort of major drug bust where you get some guy pulled over with a semi and it's loaded, okay, I can understand that to a point. But really, you know... It seems like, you know, are we sending our boys up to the border with Canada to check for those cigarette stamps? Is that really a grand way, you know, spending of our time and our money? There's that alone. But then we come into the racial element where it's, you think, okay, first of all, let's, for everyone out there, especially racist guy that's about to say, well, if they're committing the crime, you think there aren't any white guys smelling dope downtown? For God's sakes. For God's sakes. I'm actually kind of surprised all these. How did you only find the African American guy selling dope? There's tons of white guys selling dope downtown. Come on. Or are those dope sellers okay because it's legal in these other states? But the African American one, well, he's pushing a hard drug. Stop it. Stop it. And it's getting to be inexcusable on a lot of different levels. And frankly, I think that because we kind of got to stick up our caboose here in this state, we're losing out on major tax revenue. All these states that have made it legal, they tax the living daylights out of it, and they are making a ton of money. And before you say, well, Matt, we're not about to go out there and start just because we want a few tax dollars encouraging vice. Well, if that's the case, why do you do it with gambling? Huh? Huh? Electronic pull tabs, anyone? Oh, that's right. Oh, well, that's a football stadium, Matt. Heck, the way I understand it, if we started taxing dope and selling it legal in the state of Minnesota, we could build a football stadium a year or something. we could have that. Hey, all the potheads that love going over to Minnesota United, not everyone in the stands, but there's a few people I know that like to imbibe that enjoy their soccer. That being said, how about a win-win on that one, huh? Talk about sponsoring the stadium. Oh, I'm going to get some calls on that one. But no, I'm not saying everyone in the crowd is. I know a lot of people that are Loons fans who also are fans of other things, too. Certain herb. 420 is more of a lifestyle than a date on the calendar. I'm just saying. And then, of course... And I am not going to downplay the blatant racism here. Come on. Seriously. I mean, that actually is a legit question. How in the world did you not bust any? If you were looking for dope sellers downtown, there are tons of white guys that are selling. How did you not catch one of them?
You could run into one without even looking.
You could run into one every block in the freaking Skyway. Come on.
Yeah, I don't know which ones they are, really.
I mean, come on, guys. Finally, some moments with Trump. This is kind of one of the... I don't know if I should be terrified or giggling my head off at this story. But Trump, apparently he hits the daily book, a daily briefing book. Now, book is probably not the right term. Pamphlet probably also is a bit of a reach. But it's a folder that they give him, similar to the one I'm showing up on the camera. You can watch the show, by the way, over on Facebook at the AM950 on Facebook, and you can watch the show Radio for Your Eyes. He apparently, one of the reasons why H.R. McMaster, the former national security advisor, is no longer this national security advisor, is because H.R. McMaster had this really bad habit of using complete sentences and trying to explain things with Trump. I joke you not, aides are actually reporting this. That was one of the reasons why Trump hated H.R. McMaster, is he used complete sentences. So this daily book briefing, which is on everything from, you know, emergency response, volcanoes in Hawaii, you know, border patrol infractions, death tolls in Puerto Rico, North Korea issues. Apparently, they can't use complete sentences. They can only use phrases or incomplete sentences. And many times, to give him the information, they are only printing out screenshots of TV cable news and the Chyron. Chyron's the writing on the bottom of the screen. Says, you know, Trump is an idiot, that sort of thing. Although I don't imagine they're putting that in the book. But you know, they take the screenshots of the cable news picture, and they're literally, the Chyron is what they're, see here, we circled this Chyron, just read that, there you go. North Korea good, you know, volcano bad, you know, and it literally is that sort of base briefing. That anything more for this guy, the president of the United States, is too complicated, and he gets frustrated like a spoiled five-year-old whose parents are trying to punish them for eating candy and watching TV all the time. Dead freaking serious. Now, clearly, and I wrote this up on the pages this week, when we get this whole thing is over, the books that are going to be written about this presidency are going to be astounding. I mean, you're going to have aides writing books talking about the president basically could not read. He could not read, and we had to show him pictures of stuff so he would understand it. The amount of affairs, we're going to find out. I'm convinced, personally, that when this is all over, we're going to find out about a whole bunch of his other partners and possibly people we know that are in other people within in government involved with the president. But at the end of the day, can't we all just agree that the president of the United States, the leader of the free world, should at least have a second grader's education on being able to read? And like I said, part of this is comically hilarious, but part of this is terrifying, because this knucklehead has control of the nuclear arsenal. And this knucklehead can send our military in to foreign lands. This guy is responsible for the emergency relief during a natural disaster. It should terrify you. It should terrify you. Who do we got coming up here next
Janet
hour?
Janet Robert.
Janet Robert coming on in here. Thank you very much. It's been a lovely week. We're going to have a wonderful weekend. We'll be back here on Monday. Peace out, home dogs. Till then, see ya.